Welcome to Cyber Frontier, bringing you the latest news, trends, and hottest topics that focus on advances in cybersecurity and cyber industry economics. Our expert yet down-to-earth hosts make cybersecurity straightforward. They ask the tough questions and make this challenging topic something that everyone can understand. Our candid approach lets guests open up on topics we would all like to see addressed. You can find us on the web at newcyberfrontier.com. That's www.newcyberfrontier.com. Now join today's host as he introduces the topic for today's New Cyber Frontier.
Welcome to today's episode of New Cyber Frontier. On today, our guest, Kevin Johnson, the CEO of Security Ideas. From Florida, right here, Kevin?
Oh yeah, I'm in Jacksonville.
Jacksonville, Florida. So welcome today. Thanks for joining. Interesting thing, and if you're seeing the video, you're seeing a character behind him that we'll just reference as Mr. Stormy, right?
Yeah.
That's your background was incredible. We were talking before the show, and we got carried away. We almost don't have time to record in this hour session. But you do screen costumes from movies.
I belong to a group called the 501st. Uh-huh. It is a costuming group. We're hobbyists, right? And what we do is we build screen accurate Star Wars costumes, and then we wear them to raise money for charity. So for example, we visit kids in the hospital, or mm-hmm. I did a 5K in my Darth Vader costume. Now I want to be very clear, because you might have misheard me. When I said I did a 5K, I did not mean I ran a 5K. It was a very slow 5K.
You crossed the finish line, then
exactly.
You did 5K. I mean, I've seen those before, and I've seen people that participate, we'll say. And I know exactly what you mean. So how many have you made? That's amazing.
I think I'm at 9 now. My daughters and I got into it. We're building them. That obviously, you know, we're supported by great people who are also members that help each other out. You know, we laugh and we call them armor parties. We go to somebody's house, we build plastic spaceman armor. And it's just a fun time.
That's awesome. And you only wear one at a time. You have 9. I saw he did a little go around in the office there before. I saw there was a Wookiee in there and some other people, and that's pretty awesome. Like they stepped off the screen.
Yeah, I think they're awesome, but I'm biased. I built them.
Oh, that's awesome. So what's your, other than that, I mean, that's just your interesting, you know, nerddom fact, right? All have. How's your background? What got you into cybersecurity?
I'm a nerd. I've been a nerd.
We already established that.
Oh yeah,
part,
yeah.
Right?
We proved it. I've been involved in IT since 1991 professionally, right? Uh-huh. So I built systems, I managed systems, and then about 15 years ago, maybe 16 years ago, probably a little bit longer than that now, I guess I'm old. I started realizing that security really was part of my job. You know, I'd like to say it's.
Did you try to avoid it at first too?
Well, I think that it's not that I avoided it. I just think it was one of those things that we were never actually. It was never taught to us that we should pay attention to it, right? Uh-huh. Like, and then all of a sudden you started realizing, oh man, there's bad stuff going on. There's bad people, and so I started getting involved in security. I started dealing with it. I was trying to write better code. Oh gosh, some of the code I've written over the years, and but. You know, I started doing that, and then I got an opportunity to become a consultant. And so I shifted from security being a part of my job to security being my primary job. And when I did that, I was doing both adversarial testing, penetration testing, basically hacking, right? Companies would hire you to break in. I also did a lot of incident response and forensics and, you know, dealing with the results of a breach. Mm-hmm. And then when I started my company, we narrowed it down and focused, right? And so that's what I do now. I basically break into companies, and it's fun.
That sounds like a good vocation, right? I remember there was a movie called Sneakers. Oh, I love that.
I loved that movie.
I don't know why. I went back and watched it here recently. It is old and cheesy.
Oh yeah,
it was good at the time, so it really
inspired. Every once in a while, you go back and watch it and think, "Oh my gosh, this was state of the art."
Yeah, let's take a break here from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack. Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world. Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
All right, welcome back to New Cyber Frontier. We're on here with Kevin Johnson today, with the CEO of Security Ideas. And definitely a character here. If you're watching the video again, you see Stormy in the background. He hasn't moved yet. I expect that someone's going to reach out at some point here.
If he moves, we have a problem.
That would be really freaky if we did this whole show and then all of a sudden he reaches out or something.
No, no, no. I'd have a heart attack. It would be bad.
Oh, so we always like to kind of, you know, this is good, lively conversation, but where's the holes in the security industry? What needs addressed?
Well, I
think everything, but yeah, what's on your plate, Tom?
Where do you want to start? Right? I think that personally, I believe, and at Secure Ideas, obviously as the boss, I've pushed this direction, that the biggest hole we have is basic foundational education. The industry runs down a path, and we have the security researchers, which I believe is quite often just another word for criminal, and they're releasing new, oh man, did you hear this new vulnerability or this new exploit or this new thing or this new stunt hacking? And we as organizations around the world can't get the basics right. And mm-hmm. And in most cases, they don't know why they should be getting the basics right. And I find as time goes on, we're doing less and less education.
Got a question on that.
Yeah, please do.
And when I pulled out some of my old training from 2013-14, I pulled out some old training programs I had. Things that I used to travel around the country and present and everything.
Yeah.
And I couldn't use the material right now. In five years, this industry changes so much that there's a continuous revamping requirement, which is kind of the reason why, and I, you know, we'll probably get to this because we talked about it before the show, that companies like SANS or other organizations that can charge a lot of money do so because people are in the industry, have gone to training for years, and it's 2-3 years old. If you were in the military, you sat through stuff that was 10 years old and everybody was laughing as they're giving it, but they still had to give it.
Yeah.
You know? Yep. And you still had to sit there and listen to it and not fall asleep. But the recurring nature that in literally a year's time, things can be so different that 30% of your training needs revamped. It seems like that continuous window of move burns content providers out.
I agree that it burns content providers out to a certain level, mm-hmm. right? I think that the reality though is that the majority of the stuff that we say this can't be used isn't because the basics are different. It's because the examples are different or the techniques have matured, yeah. right? I know that when we update our materials, because we do training, right? I don't know any consulting firm that doesn't do training at some level, right? Mm-hmm. When we update our materials, in many cases, what we're doing is we're adding stuff to the materials, but we're still teaching the basics. We're still teaching fuzzing and you know, encryption, and those things don't change. Mm-hmm. And where I see where the bigger problem is not in the training of the current staff, right? Mm-hmm. Other than cost, you're a consultant or you're a security person, and I'm going to train you on the new techniques. That's covered. Where I see the biggest problem is, and I get this call, I got it twice this morning from people. Two different people reached out to me and said, I want to be a security person. What do I do? How do I get into it? Mm-hmm. Right? That's where. Or the flip side, I'm an organization that needs to hire security people, and I can't find security people that are available, mm-hmm. right, that, to bring in. And so we have to educate to grow the space, right? That's where I think the biggest problem is that not entry level. I'm not talking about, hey, I need to teach you what a computer is, but how do we grow the resources? How do we grow the staff to know how to do security? Mm-hmm. Right? That's where I think the bigger problem is. And that shouldn't burn anybody out, because those types of foundational things, fundamental things, they don't change very often. Right. Mm-hmm. And I'll pick on ISC squared here for a second, right? You know, I know that I took my CISSP 2002, maybe, is when I was awarded the CISSP. The body of knowledge is the same now as it was then. I know it went from 10 domains to 8 domains, but we're still talking about Bell La Padula or whatever, you know, like I always mess that one up, but let's go with it, right? Which is a problem because I teach a CISP class, but so I really should get that right. But the body of knowledge, that foundational stuff, hasn't changed. And that's where I'm talking about.
Right? Yeah. I heard somebody very well define this the other day, and it was a professor, Dr. White from University of Colorado. He said, you know, there's two types of training when he was asked about, you know, what programs and why the university didn't train for certifications. He said, there's two types of training, or there's training and there's education. Yeah. And the training is specific to doing the job you need to do. Yeah. It's teaching you to, and he said, teaching you to address the known issues and the known problems we already have. Education is those base concepts alignment, and it is teaching you to know how to solve the problems that we haven't identified yet.
Right.
So you know the theory behind it. And I think you have both. And the training programs, if you look at like a SANS, they're trying to be leading edge on the training aspect. What are all the newest things that are happening in business right now? So it's a different market of people than those who want to know, well, let me teach you the basics.
But I'm not sure that's accurate.
No?
I think if you look at the SANS catalog, and I want to be very clear, as a former SANS instructor, I don't want anybody thinking I'm bashing SANS. I'm not. I think SANS has a place. They do well. They're known for a reason, mm-hmm. right? But if you look, the vast majority of the courses they teach are basics,
mm-hmm.
right? They're not teaching the cutting edge. They're not teaching the, let me show you the new buffer overflow exploitation creation capabilities. They have a few courses that are that type of thing, but the bulk of their courses, the bulk of the things they sell are, hey, let's talk about incident handling procedures. Let's talk about, web application testing. Let's talk about security essentials. Heck, that's actually the name of two of their biggest courses, right? Biggest from audience, biggest from sales, as far as I know, right? Are security essentials, right? That is their model. And I've always found it funny, even when I was an instructor there, is that when you talked to people, they said exactly what you said, that this is cutting edge training. But the reality when you take the course is, it's not. It's a fundamental, basic, not bad. I want to be very clear. This is not a bad thing. And the reason it's not a bad thing is because most people don't know those basics, right? When you talk to most, let's pick on developers for a second, right? When I go talk to a developer, 83% of the time, and we all know that 83.6% of statistics are made up on the spot, But 83% of the time, the developer SQL injection, a flaw we've known about and known the solution for more than 2 decades, right? And the vast majority of the time, the developer won't know what I'm talking about. Or they'll know what SQL injection is, but not understand how it works or how to find it or how to prevent it, or it won't know those basics.
Yeah, right? Let's hold on to that. Yep. And hear from our sponsors, we'll be right back.
Security Services are your cybersecurity experts with decades of experience providing professional training services for our clients in various industries. We offer professional training and certification in areas of cybersecurity, safety, health, and environmental services at our academy. Our in-person and online training provides a collaborative environment where students can interact directly with instructors through live chats or in private classrooms. Visit MurraySecurityServices.com for more information.
Right, welcome back to New Cyber Frontier. On today with Kevin Johnson, CEO of Security Ideas. And we were talking about the basics in security, the things that you train that are always there, that kind of stay. And some organizations that have done very successful at promoting themselves as the latest cutting edge. So, yeah, and just kind of following on with that conversation, how much of that do you think, in your assessment, is just marketing?
Oh, most of it. We're an industry of marketing, right? We can talk about how we're really, really great, but the reality is, if you don't market yourself well, you're gonna fail.
So everybody in cybersecurity is an expert, because that's kind of the only thing we have to sell, right?
Yeah, we're
all experts. So now it's a matter of marketing which expert is worth paying the most to, and that's kind of our whole technique, right? And yeah, a lot of that involves, some of it involves mudslinging, that like I'm a politician, I got to talk bad about everybody else, and that's just how I'm good, right? And others are just outright flashiness and whatever. And yeah, or the only difference, you're saying?
Or it could also be that we send you a lot of catalogs in the mail, right?
Marketing, that's flashy, yeah, right? That's the flashy part.
And that's what I say, is I'm not bashing anybody, because that is a common thing to do, right, is to bash. I think that the vast majority of the training providers out there today have goodness in their training. I think that the big problem, and I want to be very clear, I sell training, so I'm cutting my own throat in this statement, mm-hmm, but I think that the biggest problem we have is that the vast majority of training is going to a very small group of people, pulling in third parties to do the training. Where I believe that to build our security resources, to expand the scope of the staff we have and the people who are available, mm-hmm, is we really just need to evaluate how we do it. And from my perspective, the right way to do it is to find people who understand the business, understand IT. And when I say the business, I mean whatever organization is looking at this, their business, right? Huh. So if you're a bank, you need to have people who understand banking. And then under people who understand the IT systems for banking, and then you apprentice or mentor them into a security role. I find that the best security people I deal with are ones that when you talk to them, they came from a non-security path.
So they know the business and the business model really well for where they work.
Yep. Or they understand the systems and the IT infrastructure, right? Because I talk to security people all the time that have no issue with, well, just turn it off. It's like, no, it doesn't work that way, right? Like, that system is critical to that business. Well, yeah, but it's insecure. Mm-hmm. And let's be clear, the company doesn't care. They need to conduct business. Mm-hmm. If we break their business, it does not matter how secure we made them, right?
I agree with that. So now I would say, I hear so many times people come and say, this is what we need to do.
Yeah.
Now tell us how. How did we do this? How do we apply what you just said we need to do?
Apprenticeship and mentoring. So you're the security person for Bank A, right? Let's just stick with the banking example. Why not, right? You're the security person for Bank A. Your job, the majority of your job, should not be looking at blinky lights, looking at products to deploy, or talking to third-party vendors who are going to solve things for you. Your job is to be going out to the development teams that are building the code for your bank, to the IT people who are managing and running your infrastructure, the project managers and the business people who are running the organization, and educate them on why security is important and what they need to do to deal with security, right? One of the things that I've done successfully, like I said, I'm biased. I'm literally talking about my success, is lunch and learns, right? It's very rare. We always talk about budget, right? Oh, nobody has enough budget. Everybody has enough budget to buy a pizza for the development team. And while they're eating your pizza, you tell them why security testing is important and you teach them how to do security testing so that they're looking at their own code. They're looking at their own applications, right? Mm-hmm. You can afford subs for the project management team. I don't know why developers get pizza and project managers get subs, but let's go with it, right? You can buy some Jimmy John's, so whatever, and give it to the project management people and teach, while they're eating the sub, teach them why it's important to have an understanding of security requirements before the project starts.
So right? Do you recommend, or do you have services or whatever, where you go into companies and teach lunch and learns? Is that what you do?
Yes, we absolutely, and I want to, we have training services we sell, we do all that. And like I said to you earlier, I'm a greedy capitalist. I want to be as rich as I possibly can, right?
Spend it on those.
But exactly. I want more than nine costumes. right? We sell training. We also sell advisory services to help you build your own training program. We have a service, and I want to be very clear. I'm not selling the service right now. Obviously, if you want to buy it, done, right? Buy it. But it's called SASTA, and it's a advisory service. But we've actually released enough information that instead of paying us to do it, you have enough information to build your own internal SASTA program.
So it's right? Kind of like the open source model. We'll give exactly. You code, and we'll help you if you need
yeah.
Consultants to apply it.
And I'm biased because I run open source projects for years, right? Mm-hmm. I started my first open source project back in 2004. So I like open source. I'm a big proponent of open source. And that's why when we rolled out SASTA late last year, we actually, in the announcement, drew up what the structure of the program is so that you, if you want to, you can build it yourself. I'm of the mindset that, you know, rising tides float all boats. Mm-hmm. If you pay me or you build your own SASTA program, either way, the security of the world is getting better.
Mm-hmm.
And the end result is I'm going to do better, right? You're going to do better. We're going to be better off. I would much prefer an educated clientele than a clientele that doesn't know why they're paying for my services, but they were told they had to.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's why we do it. But that I think something like SASTA, which is just strategic advisory security, right. It's advising people on how to build their own security program, how mm-hmm. to work with the developers to understand security, how to work with the IT people, all of that. And like I said, you can do it yourself.
So I hear quite often training, we need to get everybody to do something. We need to influence them all to do something. But it seems like the further along we go in this industry,
yeah.
we're not making any steps towards getting more people involved. And, you know, I've seen some research that shows people don't engage in cybersecurity on a psychological level.
Right.
And you can't really impact the desire for everybody to try to learn it. They want to buy a product and have somebody else do it,
yeah.
or pay for a service and have somebody else handle it.
Yeah.
And if I would, you know, playing devil's advocate, tell you that, you know, the security industry doesn't have enough people because not enough people are interested in being in it. What would you say to that?
Well, I'd say one, there's a few reasons for it. Okay. The first one,
would you say that's accurate first, or?
I don't know that it's accurate.
Okay.
I think that it is possible that we don't have enough people who want to be in it, but to play devil's advocate to your devil's advocate, right. I've never seen a security class not sell out, right? Colleges and high schools and middle schools are building cybersecurity training programs to drive a workforce forward because there's people
in. You know, is that though the greedy American thing? I know that's the highest paying job on the billboard whenever I do my research.
It could be. It could be. I think though there's a couple other reasons why the training is not fixing the problem, and it's because we're training people the wrong way. Let's talk about security awareness.
Okay, train people the wrong way. What is the right way?
Well, I'll give you an example. Security awareness training.
Mm-hmm.
How many times have you gone through an awareness training class, right? That tells you not
to. Try not to.
But me too. But how many times have you gone through one that tells you not to click links?
Yeah. Right?
Lots of times.
I was just telling you, click this link to get more details.
Exactly. Click this link to enroll. Click this link to do this. We're teaching people what is bad, but not teaching them why it's bad and what they should do to fix it, right? So instead of teaching end user Joe to not click links, we need to be teaching developer Susan that she should be writing applications that don't require people to click links to get involved, right?
Well, I'll tell you some interesting research. You put a page of 20 links together and have links that are obviously about people's kids, cats, clothes, links that are undecipherable, and then links that clearly have the word cybersecurity in them. The psychological aversion clicks on cybersecurity at 1/10 the rate of the placebo.
I believe it.
Because everything you're saying about what we've trained people, they know, and as soon as they see a link on cybersecurity, they do what we trained them, and they don't click on it.
But they click all the rest of them.
All the rest of them.
Yes. Right, because we've conditioned them. Our systems conditioned them to clicking links.
It's
right?
Think cybersecurity, think don't click. That's the psychological problem. Cybersecurity, think don't engage, because people were trying to hack me. Cybersecurity, think... I remember my training. Don't engage.
Right. And that's
the
why
cat what you doing, doesn't happen. You know, kids, oh, click.
So you teach the developers and the admins and them to not build the systems to require it. We don't have to teach the user not to click because they're going to be taught that that's not how you interact with the system.
So it's kind of you're taking the technology approach to solving that problem more so than human. You know, I actually agree with that. And that's why I'm kind of harping on the psychological thing, because I don't think we solve that psychological problem. I think we have to find another way to address it.
Yep. Yeah. And one of them, not the only solution, but one of the solutions is to build our systems to not work that way.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And if we build our systems to not work that way, which requires an educated IT organization. It requires which is where we go right back to the mentorship and apprenticeship. Because even if I don't bring those developers into security, teaching them about security, teaching them why it's important, teaching them how it works. And let's be very clear. You sit down with a group of developers and show them some cool hacks, they get excited. They're interested in how it works. They're, you know, not, hey, here's what SQL injection is, but hey, look at this. Here's a target. Here's a SQL injection flaw. And here's me pulling a million records out of it. Right. Obviously, we're not going after a real organization on the internet. Right. We're doing demo environments, things like Samurai WTF or what have you to demonstrate it safely. But you see the eyes light up. You see the curiosity. And I will tell you that every single time I've gone in and advised development organizations or worked with development organizations to mentor them, to show them what security is, the result is a much safer, more secure organization, and we can prove it through testing, right? So we train them, we teach them, and then we test their organization, and you literally see fewer findings because the developers are there.
All right, so on that one, we're kind of rolling up the time here, but I wanted to give the opportunity, how do people get in touch with you? What services do you offer? What link should they reach out to?
It's really easy. If you come to secureideas.com, so secureideas.com, that's our website. You can click the contact us form. You could also email me directly on kevin@secureideas.com. We also hang out on Twitter at secureideas. We're not very original.
You do consulting, training, and
we do penetration testing, we do training, we do consulting, all security related.
All right. Well, thanks for joining today, Kevin. You have a good one. It's been a pleasure.
You too, sir. Bye.
Thank you for listening to New Cyber Frontier. Remember to follow or like our post and circulate each new show to your networks. We keep you informed, bring you the latest news, explore new trends, and find the hottest topics. With New Cyber Frontier, you don't have to be a computer or cybersecurity expert. Just get plugged in. We encourage you to get involved. Tell us what topics interest you and join our mailing lists. You can find us on the web at www.newcyberfrontier.com. That's newcyberfrontier.com. Check out our previous interviews and please let us know if there are any topics that you would like to hear discussed. See you next time on New Cyber Frontier.